Hi, and welcome to the Forbes Let's Talk Commercial Edition. I'm your host, Shiroz Nadeem, and this podcast series will include guests from various different commercial teams.
Thank you for joining me today, Chris.
No problem, Shiroz.
We're going to talk all things insolvency, which is, of course, your specialism.
Yep.
You head up the team, and in the current climate, it's an interesting topic that many probably want to know more about. So I appreciate we're not going to go into the depths of it. There's many years of knowledge which you have, and we can't cover that in today's podcast as much as we'd like to. So insolvency, what is it in its simplest form?
Well, that's a big introduction, no pressure. It covers a wide range of matters in respect of both individuals and companies. And it's effectively a system designed to deal with debt. And it's a system that is absolutely essential for any working economy because, you know, if you have individuals and companies that can't pay their debts, then you need a process that deals with that. Otherwise, you know, the economy will grind to a halt. That's something that not many people sort of appreciate in respect to insolvency. I think a lot of people perhaps don't know about how it works, assume that it's a way for individuals and companies to get out of debt. But actually, the way I've always looked at it in terms of what I do, which is help insolvency practitioners realize assets of individuals and companies, I see it as a benefit to creditors because, you know, for every bankruptcy petition that is presented, every winding up petition is presented, every company that goes into a process, you know, you've got a body of creditors that are wanted to get the money back. So, yeah, I mean, it's not going to big myself up, but it's an absolutely essential sort of process and a you know, essential area of law as well. You know, insolvency practitioners need assistance with all manner of legal issues that might arise out of a bankruptcy of an individual or a limited company.
Yeah, so I guess in my area with the commercial litigation side, often we refer matters over to yourselves because it's a completely separate process. The separate rules, separate procedures. And whilst we sit tightly in the office together, our teams work very closely together.
Yeah.
As you say, it is an essential process, but one that's completely independent on its own.
Yeah.
And with the recent announcement that we're in a recession, naturally, many businesses should be looking at their book debt in its simplest form. And what is it someone like yourself can do to assist with that?
Well, so the insolvency department at Forbes was set up when I arrived in September 22. And I think it's fair to say that Forbes hadn't had a specialist insolvency department prior to that. And the decision was made at the outset that we would ally the insolvency team with Forbes' existing debt recovery department, which is a department the firm has had since its inception. The idea being that, you know, there might be some opportunity for, you know, petition work to come out of debt recovery, which could feed into insolvency. But going back to your initial query about the recession, I mean, cash is always king, and it's absolutely essential for businesses to, you know, review their debtor book and take steps to ensure that their credit control procedures are robust and that they're doing all they can to improve recovery. Obviously, our department, the debt recovery side of the insolvency department, can assist with that in terms of being like an add-on to a credit control function. I think if you have a debt that's not, you know, moving, that needs paying, a letter from a firm of solicitors is often the incentive that's needed to, you know, put your invoice to the top of the pile. I also think sort of our department, as you say, works well with commercial litigation, but with other departments as well. I always say that, you know, the best way to ensure efficient cash recovery is make sure your terms and conditions are up to date, you know, that have all the mechanisms which would assist with ensuring that, you know, income comes in steadily, you know, retention of title clauses, you know, provisions to make sure that your, you know, advice on make sure your terms and conditions actually are applicable. That's something that you'll come across a lot in your department. So there's a whole host of things that can be done, but, you know, cash is king. In terms of the recession, last year there was a significant increase in the number of voluntary liquidations. In fact, I mean, I don't have the evidence with me now, but I believe it's the highest on record in terms of voluntary liquidations, which tells its own story. I think a lot of that is a lag from COVID, from the lockdowns, obviously with the furlough scheme and the bounce back loans. You know, the government provided assistance to allow businesses to continue during that period. There was also a hiatus on winding up petitions, so a certain amount of protection from creditors. So, you know, I think that the boost last year was expected. And I mean, in terms of the current economic situation, who knows where that's gonna lead? Certainly to an increase in you know, requirements for insolvency lawyers. You know, to take no joy in that. But yeah, it's often difficult because I remember the crash of 2008. I think most people being honest about that sort of period in insolvency was quite bad. I mean, everyone used to say to me, "Oh, you'll be happy because, you know, you're going to get loads of work." And no, because there was a sudden lack of available funding, certainly at a second tier level, and a lack of liquidity. So that, I mean, at the end of the day, insolvency practitioners and ourselves, we rely on asset recovery to get paid.
Of course,
And if there isn't, you know, available finance out there for assets to be purchased, for businesses to be purchased, then it gets very difficult. So I don't think this recession is quite as bad. I mean, obviously, the crash in 08 was a worldwide one. But it is difficult to predict how things are going to progress. I think one of the problems at the minute is that, without going too much into the detail, one of the most effective methods of rescuing a business was the administration procedure. And there's certain measures that have been brought in over the last couple of years, the last few years, that have just made that process more difficult. And less, so that fewer insolvency practitioners find themselves able to recommend that process. So there are fewer administration procedures, which means sort of like a limited access for a failing business to actually use an insolvency practitioner to you know, be rescued to restructure. So I think there have to be changes made to that going forward. But I think the recession will lead to more businesses requiring insolvency advice. But in terms of practical steps, I think looking at your debtor book and tightening up cash recovery is absolutely key.
I think you made a valid point in what's a testing time in saying cash is king. Businesses, sadly, many won't be profitable in this current climate. But as long as the cash flow's not impacted too much, they can stay afloat, keep them jobs alive and keep themselves alive. But if their finances and physical cash is stuck through no fault of their own, it does become a problem. And I think when people consider insolvency practitioners or lawyers that deal in insolvency, they always see it as a negative. They don't consider that there could be a positive out of this. And if they seek that advice quite early doors, them options that are available to them, they may just simply not know. They're not expected to know. You know, no one starts off a business understanding the worst case scenario of the end result, so to speak. But I think, like anything, there's a lot of emotion involved in this area, probably more so than others, because for many, it's either SMEs or relatively mid-sized businesses where they've seen what can only be a passion grow, and they've seen it at its highest of highs and lowest of lows, and they just can't take the emotion away to make the right decisions. And if they come to someone like yourself, you can take the, you understand, having dealt with so many different businesses, what options are available, but you can take the emotion out and tell them quite factually, this is what may happen if you do X, Y, and Z. And On the other side of the spectrum, that's obviously looking at it from a business that is on a bit of edge itself.
Mm.
But for a business that's old funds, you know, I often have clients that say to me, we need to bankrupt that business. Mm. But you and I, we spoke about this before. We understand what they mean, but technically that isn't possible in itself. It's a separate process, and it's a loose way of using the word bankruptcy, I think, which...
Yeah, the terminology, and so obviously it could be complex, but terminology is quite easy, actually. It's sort of with individuals made bankrupt,
yep.
Companies are wound up,
yep.
effectively. Those are basically the two main creditor procedures for forcing an insolvency on somebody. It's actually a bit of a pet peeve of mine with the media, because I think even to this day, if a company goes into an insolvency process, they use the terminology that, you know, they brought the receivers in, and receivership was effectively diminished as an available process 20 odd years ago. So it's no wonder that the clients that we see don't sort of understand the terminology.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the other thing to point out, I think from you said about the emotion, and you know, you do get occasions where the insolvency process from a creditor perspective is used as a punishment.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And in some ways that's actually the correct approach, if I may say, because the bankruptcy petition and the winding up petitions are not, strictly speaking, supposed to be used for debt recovery.
Yeah.
I know that sounds ridiculous, and it is, you know, it is, quite frankly, but it's supposed to be a class remedy.
Yeah.
So whenever a creditor decides to make a debtor bankrupt or decides to wind up a business, they are technically doing it on behalf of all creditors. The reality is that the process is very effective at recovering money from businesses that don't want to be made to be wound up, or individuals that don't want to be made bankrupt because they have assets to protect or whatever. So, I guess the correct way of referring to petitions as in terms of debt recovery is to say that, you know, any recovery you make is a byproduct of a class remedy, and it is very effective tool, but you have to sort of assess what the likelihood is of the process completing, because it is an expensive process.
Of course, yeah.
You know, for a winding up or a bank's position, it's thousands of pounds. And sure, if you know the petitioning creditor, in terms of priority of payments, is high up the list, but that, you know, at the end of a liquidation or at the end of a bankruptcy, but that depends on whether there's any assets in the job. Any assets that can be recovered to pay those.
No, I get that. And of course, it's important, like you say, to take that commercial approach as well. The last thing someone, where the emotions are high when they arrive, so to speak, and have that initial discussion with you, the last thing they want to do is spend months and thousands for something that may lead to really very little in return.
Yeah.
And I know I've been fortunate to have been in meetings with yourself where that advice is offered quite early doors,
yes,
both legal and commercial.
Yeah.
And you explain the process to the clients, and that gives them, I've seen, a moment of reflection.
Mm.
So they take it away, they take the emotion out, they take in what you've said and really take some thought and understand what does this look like, what are the implications.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, they feel highly aggrieved and understandably, and they want to do everything they can. But if that's costing them thousands of pounds, and putting that aside as well, it's just energy. A lot of that being drained from them as well, focusing on this rather than the growth of their business.
Yeah.
Then that can have an impact as well. And everyone's appetite to litigation is completely different.
Yeah.
That includes us in our personal capacities as well. I mean, I'm sure you've had on paper two identical cases, but completely separate individuals. And the strategy, there is no black or white formula. It's a tailored approach. And everyone has to understand what it means for them as well.
Yeah, I think it's when we were talking before about being careful, you know, considering what assets a individual or a company may have that could result in a a recovery.
Yeah.
One thing to bear in mind is the potential for a trustee in bankruptcy or a liquidator to pursue the third parties, yeah, or in a company case, the directors, for any, you know, transactions which might be challengeable, which, you know, when you start that sort of creditor petition process, you probably don't know, you won't know,
yeah,
what has transpired in the business or in the individual personal finances prior to any bankruptcy order or winding up. So, I mean, some clients will say, oh, you know, we suspect that these transferred assets, or we suspect that they may have had money out of the business. Yeah. And in those cases, it can be worth sort of appointing an insolvency practitioner as liquidator to investigate the company,
sure,
or to, you know, take on a bankruptcy and see if the bankrupt's hidden any assets or made any payments that that they shouldn't have made. It's always a gamble,
yep,
but you often have insolvency practitioners, or we have insolvency practitioner clients who, you know, may be willing to have a look at a case and take a chance on there potentially being a recovery.
Yeah.
In any of those scenarios, whenever you look to make someone bankrupt or you know, wind up a business, you have to be realistic about the prospects of a return.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be an unsecured creditor if you're going down the petition route,
yeah,
and you know, you stand shoulder to shoulder with all the other unsecured creditors. There's certain preferential creditors who get paid in advance, and the liquidator or trustee in bankruptcy will always get their fees and expenses first.
Yep.
So there has to be an element of realism,
yep,
in terms of whether there's going to be an ultimate recovery. But that's something that we can sort of review and, yep, use our experience to say, you know, maybe or maybe not. And so on the flip side of that, something we were discussing earlier about companies that may be in difficulty,
yep,
or may think that they're insolvent, it is, I think you mentioned this, it is absolutely critical that they take advice,
yep,
as soon as possible, ideally from an insolvency practitioner,
yep,
because as directors of that company, they owe pretty onerous duties. And initially those duties are, in simple terms, those duties with a solvent business are to the shareholders.
Yep.
When a business is insolvent, that those duties shift to looking after the interests of creditors.
Yeah.
And if the conduct is less than impeccable, it can result in liability.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's recommended for any director who believes the business is insolvent and, you know, may struggle to get out of insolvency to take advice at the earliest opportunity.
Yeah, and you touch on a valid point there, which ultimately, as we describe in the legal world, as piercing the corporate veil. And ultimately, many clients feel that they've got this benefit of having a company and they're the directors, so they're protected. But the reality is, whilst that is, and this very basic overview, that is the case, but that can be pierced and they can't just do as they please, so to speak, at no risk to themselves.
Well, it can. Effectively, they are shielded from certain liabilities.
Yeah.
But by nature of them being directors of the company, they are, you know, potentially on the hook for certain personal liabilities.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot, certainly at the SME level, a lot of businesses will have outstanding loan accounts at the point of liquidation. You know, liquidators, in my experience, tend to review bank statements going back 3 years before a liquidation.
Yep.
And they'll, you know, review any payments that have gone out sort of inexplicably.
Yep.
And they'll ask the directors, what are these? And, you know, the risk is if you can't explain it sufficiently, you'll be asked to pay it back.
Yep.
So that in summary is the risk for any company that is insolvent and believes that, you know, it's unlikely to be able to drag itself out.
Yep.
And that is, as you rightly say, going to be heightened,
yep,
with the current climate, the cost of living crisis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I guess before we wrap things up, but for insolvency, Are there certain trends that you see or have seen? And if so, what's the current one that you're seeing arising?
The insolvency service are very hot on sort of the criminal aspects of insolvency. So dealing with breaches of the Insolvency Act, which can give rise to criminal liability, directors' disqualification proceedings as well, seeing a lot more of that. That sort of stems from quite a significant amount of abuse with the furlough schemes and bounce back loans during lockdown. So they've clearly received funding from the government to try and crack down on that. So seen a lot of that. As said before, you know, the process, the insolvency process, which is most common for companies at the moment, is liquidations.
Yep.
So voluntary liquidations. So seen a lot of that. Not seen many much bankruptcy work. As I understand it, the official receiver, who sort of government body that takes on all bankruptcies and winding ups, they're trying to keep as much work in house because they've got quotas to meet. And so we're seeing less and less work. A lot of our practitioners I work with, whereas they might get a job from the official receiver on a monthly basis, some of them haven't seen anything in years. So, it's more broadly on the economy. I think we discussed it earlier. It's certainly been very busy the beginning of this year, and I think we'll continue to be on the insolvency front. It'd be interesting to see how it all pans out. I mean, obviously, we might be heading for a change of government. I think everyone's bracing for that potential outcome of an election that's probably going to happen this year. But what impact that will have on things, who knows?
Now, of course, and I think just to wrap things up, the simplest advice really is if you're unsure on what your position is, whether you're old funds or whether you're not really certain on what your company's position is to seek that advice.
Absolutely.
It's very easy to reach out to someone. I'm not necessarily saying yourself or any of your contacts, but whoever, and make sure you understand the position, because the implications, if you get that wrong, are much greater and very costly.
Yeah, I think it applies to both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
It applies to people who feel that they may need that insolvency advice, but also to creditors who have had a customer enter into a process. You know, it can be something that happens very quickly. I'm more than happy to sort of give guidance to people who want to know what the process is, what is likely to happen, what the potential is for them to get anything back.
Brilliant. As always, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, no worries. Hopefully thank you, Shiroz.
No.